It has been presented to Chairman Chaffetz of the Government's Oversight Committee in unambiguous, exquisite detail, and yet he has still not acted. And that is a disgrace. And in large part, this is due to the fact that the pharmaceutical industry is so powerful that they have bought not only our politicians, but the mainstream media as well. They control the headlines. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I really believe, like you, for the first time, President Trump, who is not beholden to these people, who is not owned by them, did not require their help to get him into office, now will act in the interests of the American people to correct this invidious situation.
The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
Folks, I've got a very interesting show for you today. I'm going to be talking to the director of the movie Vaxxed, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe. Now, he's also been at the center of a controversy a few years ago, and he's a doctor by the name of Andrew Wakefield. Now, he was viciously attacked and vilified over a research paper that he published in The Lancet in 1998, suggesting a possible, now the key word here is possible, connection between the MMR vaccine and a certain type of gastrointestinal problem and autism. And the media and others went after him with a vengeance, only to later be proven wrong when Dr. Wakefield's research was proven correct and he was exonerated. You see, this is what happens when you discover an uncomfortable truth that goes against the big boys and threatens their bottom line. You see, it's hard to argue when you're on the wrong side of the facts. And when you're on the wrong side of the facts and you're a certain type of person, that's when you attack your opponent's character. And when you do that, you demonize them, you discredit them, you vilify them, and you try to destroy them so that people won't trust them or believe them. Because you see, I mean, after all, who's going to believe someone that's been discredited, that the media says is a quack or is got bad research and stuff? You see how that game works? So it doesn't matter what you say, whether you have science or research or facts to back you up. It doesn't matter if people think you're a quack or if people have seen that you've been discredited by the mainstream media. This is the tactic of the unscrupulous, and this is what was done to my guest today. Now, Dr. Andrew Wakefield is an academic gastroenterologist and a researcher and director of the film Vaxxed, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe. Now, Dr. Wakefield, I've watched the film Vaxxed, and it is a very good, high-quality film. I think y'all did a wonderful job exposing a problem, and we're going to be talking about some of this on the show today. And I want to highly encourage everyone, if you have not seen this movie, you need to see it. You can go to vaxxedthemovie.com and go there, and you can watch the movie there. I think you see it off Vimeo. I think it costs $3 or $4. It's nothing to see it, but I highly suggest everybody watching this movie. Now, the thing about this, Dr. Wakefield, is that you never said to stop vaccines. You basically said to inject single doses of the MMR vaccine and not do it all at once. That the research is showing this is healthier for the children and they have fewer side effects. And you also said it's better to wait, according to the research, till the child's a little bit older before you give them the MMR vaccine. Now, to me, that doesn't seem unreasonable. It sounds very reasonable and like a common sense approach, especially when you have research to back you up. Now, my first question is, why do you think they came after you since you didn't ever really say to stop the vaccines?
Well, firstly, thank you very much for having me on the show. It's a very interesting question. They clearly felt threatened. And I think that they felt threatened because they knew that the safety studies of these vaccines had been totally inadequate, that they had made assumptions about their ability to combine three live viruses together, measles, mumps, and rubella, into one, and not do any additional safety studies, just to assume that because the single vaccines had been tested, then the triple vaccine should be okay. And I think was a litany of errors made early on, which really culminated in the UK in the withdrawal of one of the MMR vaccines, a story that's told in Vax, the movie, where the mumps component caused meningitis. Mm-hmm. And it only caused meningitis when it was combined with measles and rubella. Okay, on its own, it seemed to be fine.
Now, there was some research to back that up, correct? That's
absolutely
what you're saying. Okay.
Well, there was a lot of research to show that the combination was more of a problem than the singles. But when they had to withdraw the triple vaccine, there was no research into why. And that, the scientists around the world said, why not? Why did we never do this to try and understand why giving all of these viruses at the same time is much more dangerous than giving these individually? And that was a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so why have they refused to do what you suggested?
Well, I think that one of the reasons is they know what the answer is going to be. And one of the reasons they've refused to do what everybody has called for, that's the comparison of vaccinated versus unvaccinated children, mm-hmm. as a baseline for vaccine safety. They know what the answer to that study will be, and they are terrified.
Yeah, and they've never done that study, and they don't want to do that study of the vaccine children versus unvaccinated children.
Correct, and Congress really mandated that they should do that as early as 1986, and they wanted, Congress wanted baseline safety studies. Clearly, the vax-unvax study would have given them that. And the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, have steadfastly refused to do that study.
Well, can Congress not make them? I mean, Congress is our lawmakers. Who's going to enforce the law?
You would think so, wouldn't you? You would think it is within their power to force that to happen, and yet it has not happened. And I have no explanation for that, and I think that's a question for Congress.
Yeah, it very much is. It hasn't happened because there hasn't been a will for it to happen. I mean, a will for the people that can do it. You know, if they wanted to, they could have. I am so tired of these weak-kneed, yellow-bellied people. I'm sorry, but I have just had it. And I know a lot of other people in this country have had it, too. When are people that are standing up for what's right, when are they going to actually stand up? And I know some people are doing that, and you are doing it. And that's why I so applaud you. You are doing this, too. And others, a few others are doing it, and I hope more and more people start doing this. Why can't we just stand up and do what's right? And forget what the media says, and forget what other people say. Just do what's right. I mean, that's just infuriating to me, and I'm so sick of it. And I know I'm speaking for a lot of Americans, and I know that's why, whether you like him or not, that's why Trump got in there, because he said what Americans really, well, most of Americans wanted to be saying. And I don't mean to get off in politics here, but the thing is, it just irks me to no end that, you know, when people's lives are at stake, especially children, and you just sit there with twiddling your thumbs in Congress. And yes, I'm talking to you, Congress. You know, when are you going to stand up and start doing what's right? You know, it just really irks me. Do you think is there some cover-up going on?
Right. Do I think there is a cover-up going on? No. I know there's a cover-up going on. And we now know that as a matter of fact, because a senior scientist, Dr. William Thompson, from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, from the Vaccine Safety Office, who was responsible for designing and conducting and reporting studies on vaccine safety, has come forward and said there is a cover-up, has said, I have been responsible for deceiving millions of taxpayers about the safety and the potential negative side effects of vaccines. And he has spelled out in exquisite detail with accompanying documents the nature of the cover-up, the precise lies that were told. And it is an extraordinary fact, and it goes to the issue that you just raised about our elected representatives, is that they have not, even after 2 years, investigated this. And the film lays it out very clearly. It has been presented to Chairman Chaffetz of the Government's Oversight Committee in unambiguous, exquisite detail, and yet he has still not acted. And that is a disgrace, and in large part, this is due to the fact that the pharmaceutical industry is so powerful that they have bought not only our politicians, but the mainstream media as well. They control the headlines. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I really believe, like you, for the first time, President Trump, who is not beholden to these people, who is not owned by them, did not require their help to get him into office, now will act in the interests of the American people to correct this invidious situation.
If they'll leave him alone and let him do his job. But my concern is, and again, this is not a political talk, but, you know, this does get into that subject. If they'll leave him alone, but what my concern is he doesn't have enough help in Congress to do everything that really needs to be done. But at least he's getting the ball rolling, because there is a lot he can do and a lot he is doing. And they're going after him, you know, tooth and nail. But do you think it's merely just a money thing? I mean, I know the pharmaceutical companies and people that listen regularly to this show know I've said this before. That is the most profitable industry in the world. It surpasses oil and gas. And they have, like you said, they've bought out Congress. Their ads are on the news, you know, mainstream news media. They control them, and they control the medical schools. They control all kinds of things. When you have that kind of money, you can control pretty much anybody. Thankfully, there's a few people that can't be controlled, and you're one of them. Trump's another one, and several other people. But you can control a lot of people when you have that kind of money. But do you think it's just solely a money thing?
No, I don't. I think as a filmmaker, now, as a screenwriter, I've tried to articulate this as, you know, how will this story end? A lot of people ask me how it will end and why it came to be. And I think that one of the things that started this off was a sort of almost a religious belief system in the certainty that vaccines were the best thing that medicine had ever done for the health of the population. And you see papers time and time again repeating this same religious belief that vaccines are inviolable. They are the best things that have medicine has ever done. And we said the same of antibiotics. And now antibiotics has led us into a very dark and dangerous place, the overexploitation of antibiotics and multi-resistant organisms. And we've not learned the lesson. So I think that from the public health perspective and from the pediatrician's perspective, there is a very naive certainty that what they are doing is right, and that they can defeat infectious disease on a global scale using vaccines. That is extraordinarily naive. And I think one of it was characterized by a public health immunologist from the University of Colorado in Denver, who said exactly that. He said, "We do not in public health entertain uncertainties. As vaccinologists, we are concrete in our thinking." Now, science is predicated upon uncertainty. It's uncertain. We don't know the answers, and yet they do. Now, the other side of the equation is the pharmaceutical industry, and they are interested in the bottom line, in the stock price, in short-term profits and bonuses, and they are driven by money, and they have exploited the public health officials, the doctors. They have bought them off with the simple objective of making a great deal of money. So I think it operates on several levels, but the beginning of the problem is this naive belief that vaccines are man's answer to the war on infectious disease.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, and the thing about it is, I was, you know, when I was growing up, I had all my vaccines. Of course, back then, you didn't have as many, near as many as they have today. But my parents, you know, I've got two sisters, gave all of us all our vaccines and everything. I had the MMR vaccine. But, you know, I had the measles and I had the mumps. You know, so it didn't work apparently with me, but now I have a lifetime immunity of it. And that's another thing they say, oh, you know, and used to, if you got sick with the mumps, well, no, you didn't, or measles or whatever. And my mother said when I was a baby, I had a really bad case of the measles, but they didn't panic. They didn't just, go jumping up and down. And you didn't hear on the news, oh, we've had an outbreak of this. And they just, you'd think the world's coming to an end. You got sick. You did what you had to, took something to try to ease it, and, you got over it. You know, it was not the end of the world. It's almost like we've turn into wimps. Of course, I know what they're doing. They're getting the media all hyped up, and when the media gets hyped up, they can get the America hyped up, you know, over these outbreaks and stuff like that. And I'm like, look, if you get, you know, they say it's actually better if you're healthy enough. And if you're not healthy enough, the vaccine's probably going to cause you a lot of problems. But if you're healthy, you know, provided, and most kids are, you know, healthy enough to make it through and be fine through, if you get the mumps or measles or whatever, it actually strengthens your immune system when you're a child, so that when you get older, it's strong enough to fight off some other more serious diseases like cancer and stuff like that. So getting sick is not the end of the world. They make a big deal over the flu vaccine, you know, and a lot of people, I don't know how many people I've heard that gets the flu vaccine, they get the flu. And I'm like, well, duh, you know, can you not put two and two together? You know, one nursing home where I used to live, that all of those were vaccinated, and nearly every one of them got the flu. And I'm like, man, are people that stupid? You know? And, you know, I don't know. You know, it's not the end of the world if you get sick, folks. It just helps build your immune system. And it may be a clue that you might need to start eating a little healthier and have a little healthier lifestyle to fight off, you know, strengthen your system so you can fight off some of these diseases. But they're just exploiting people for money. And well, that's all it is.
Right. You know, this issue of exploitation. I mean, firstly, what it comes down to is that vaccination should be based upon fully informed consent and should be the patient's choice or the patient's parents' choice and not the government's choice and most absolutely certainly not the pharmaceutical industry's choice. And your reference to flu is absolutely right. The CDC have lectures. They give their employees lectures on how to frighten the public into accepting the vaccine by overselling the severity of the disease and by overselling the benefits of vaccines and minimizing the risks of vaccines. It is purely an exercise in propaganda and public relations. And of course, you're quite right. It has now been shown categorically, not only does the flu vaccine not work, the vast majority of people in whom it's given, but it is also associated, once you've had that flu vaccine, then you're more likely to get the flu and you're more likely to be hospitalized and have very severe flu if you've been vaccinated. And there are sound biological reasons that have been demonstrated in at least three papers from Canadian groups showing that that is the case. So the public is being completely misled, and one has to wonder why.
Yeah, that's true. And education is the key. And I agree totally with you. It's a freedom thing. You know, if we don't have freedom to decide what goes into our bodies and what doesn't, then we have nothing. We are not free. And again, it's a freedom thing. If you want the vaccine, then I say have at it. You know, you can have the vaccine. As a matter of fact, you can line up every day and have every vaccine known under man injected into you if you want. You can even have mine because I'm not getting them. And it's just your choice. But don't tell me I have to, and I'm not going to tell you you don't have to. That is your choice. And again, on this show, we never try to give medical advice or anything. And I want to put this disclaimer in here that, you know, if you have, you know, we're not telling you what to do with any of this. In your medical, you have issues or whatever, you handle that with your doctor. But the thing is, it's a freedom thing. And it's so sad that there's so many people that just take what the media says and what their doctor says at just face value, and they swallow it hook, line, and sinker.
We are excited indeed to be celebrating our one-year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest-growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our one-year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do, include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America out loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan, plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
We need to spend more time, at least a little more time, getting educated on what's going on in the world, because this literally could mean, it could be a life or death decision, whether you go with what your doctor says or what it does, what he doesn't say, or what he says, or either, you know, whatever. You just need to know enough to make your own decisions, what I'm saying, and stop blindly trusting authority figures. And that's a mistake, and that can be so deadly at times.
Yeah, talking about deadly, and it brings me to a very important point. A paper came out, a very, very important paper came out the other day, and I just wanted to refer your listeners to it because it is so important, and yet it has not found its way into the mainstream media. It's by a Danish physician called Peter Arby, and he's from an institute called the Staten Serum Institute in Denmark. And I mention the institute because it's important that people realize that this is one of the principal vaccine manufacturers. It's a state vaccine manufacturing outfit in Denmark. So he's from a vaccine manufacturer, and he's an extremely well-respected pro-vaccine scientist. A lot of his work's been done in West Africa. And in West Africa, he looked at the mortality associated with the wholesale DTP vaccine at 3 to 5 months of age in children who'd received it compared to children who hadn't. And this is an example of a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study. And the finding was extraordinary, is that all-cause mortality was 5 to 10 times greater in those receiving the DTP vaccine compared with the unvaccinated. Now, that finding is truly alarming.
It is.
Because this is one of the vaccines that has been most widely used in the world. But his conclusion is this, and this is extraordinary. He says, all currently available evidence suggests that DTP vaccine may kill more children from other causes than it saves from diphtheria, tetanus, or pertussis. Now, that is an extraordinary indictment.
It is.
One of the world's most commonly used childhood vaccines. And yet, does that find itself into the public domain? Are people aware of this? No. It is kept quiet. And he is furious, absolutely furious. And you can tell, and I know Peter, I've known him for many years, he chooses his words very, very carefully. And he has urged people to conduct this research and take it further, and they have flatly refused. So here we have a vaccine that people have sworn by, that it's safe and effective, and it's killed, apparently, more children than it has saved from the target diseases. So people really need to understand what is going on.
Yeah, and that's infuriating. And that, this is why they don't want studies done on vaccinated versus unvaccinated. And, you know, and they don't do that with other aspects of medicine. They usually do those type of studies, but they don't. But they know what they're going to find. And this goes right along with what I've also said before on this show, and that is I have talked to people, and I know there's others out there that have talked to people that have never vaccinated their children. And they are some of the healthiest children out there. They say they hardly ever get sick. So what are these vaccines doing to our immune system?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, autism is the area that I've been most concerned with. But I know for sure that there are many, many doctors involved in other areas like insulin-dependent diabetes, like Crohn's disease, like asthma, eczema, hay fever, where these problems are rife in the vaccinated populations compared with unvaccinated, and I think it's going to emerge that what we've created with the sort of zeal and the greed of this vaccine industry is a mirror of what has happened with antibiotics and multi-resistant organisms that are now infecting patients in hospital. Is that we've turned a dream into a disaster, and medicine has a habit of repeating the same mistakes time and again.
Yeah, they do. Now, you were vilified, and I want to talk about that just for a minute. You were vilified when you started your research study, and I want to talk about this with what you found with relating to autism and the MMR vaccine. But how were you made out to be the bad guy? Now, exactly what were they saying about you when you presented your research paper?
Well, what they did is the Murdoch Media News International, who Rupert Murdoch's son was on the board of GlaxoSmithKline, the UK's principal vaccine manufacturer, and he was there as a non-executive director with the purpose of protecting that company's reputation in the mainstream media, and I became one of his main targets, and he put a journalist onto me to destroy my career. And I was accused of everything ranging from scientific fraud to unethical research to trying to bring about the downfall of MMR in order to get my own vaccine onto the market, any number of things in relation to the Lancet paper, which ultimately in the English High Court, at the appeal of my colleague, Professor John Walker Smith, were completely thrown out, completely overturned. And the Lancet paper, which really described gastrointestinal disease for the first time in children with autism, which is one of the most common findings worldwide now in research, been replicated many, many times. That was a fascinating insight. It came about because of what the parents said. And the sad thing is that many children went uninvestigated because doctors were so frightened of what had happened to me, that it might happen to them if they pursued this line of reasoning, that children suffered, were left in pain with autism and bowel disease for many, many years. And that was the legacy of the Murdoch media and Brian Deer. In the end, all shown clearly to be false, and Thompson's admissions, his confessions in the film in relation to MMR vaccine, its causal relationship to autism, really underscore this. They reiterated, they repeated what we'd said many, many years before, indeed what parents had said. And if they had not lied, if they had not covered up, if they had not committed scientific fraud back in 2001 through 2004, then we'd have saved many children and we'd have all the answers now. And we didn't, precisely because of fraud in a government agency where they were sworn professionally and morally to protect American children. They did quite the opposite. Put millions in harm's way.
Yeah, and that is so. And that's so sad. That is so, so sad. But you know, you have since been exonerated, like you said. But I want to read something that Dr. McCullough said on his site. He says it's interesting to note that in the years following, he is talking about your 1998 finding, that Dr. Wakefield published another 19 papers on the vaccine-induced bowel disorder. All were peer-reviewed, and none have been retracted. However, none of these 19 papers are ever discussed in the media. And in an interview conducted with Dr. Wakefield in 2010, it's revealed that numerous other studies also support Dr. Wakefield's controversial 1998 findings. Now, I think this says a whole lot, and you are just to be commended to no end for the research that you've done. And I want to take a moment here to say that you're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network, and I'm your host, Beverly Butler, and I'm talking today to Dr. Andrew Wakefield. He's the director of the movie Vaxxed, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe, and we've been discussing what his findings were that got him in such trouble. And I want to, you had mentioned about Dr. Thompson and what he admitted, that the CDC lied about the safety of vaccines. And do you think anything is going to come of that? Do you think now that Trump is in office? And I wanted to ask also, what do you think about Robert Kennedy Jr., I believe it was, or the third, being over a vaccine safety commission? Do you think that's going to be able to accomplish any good goals that needs to be done?
Yes, I do. I think that is something going to happen in relation to Thompson. Yes, it is, because I'm going to make it happen. And there are a number of fronts on which we're going to pursue that. I won't go into great detail on those lest our enemies
right.
that inflation. But there is, I'm absolutely determined that the guilty parties should be deposed and should give testimony under oath so that we get to the bottom of this and it's made very, very clear in the public domain what has happened so that it doesn't happen again and that it leads to a move to get vaccine safety research out of the CDC, out of HHS completely and into an independent agency like the National Transportation Safety Board, as we say in the film. Now, the idea of Bobby Kennedy Jr. heading up a vaccine safety commission is commendable. I am entirely in favor of such a commission. It's got the other side quaking in their boots. They're desperate that this should not happen, that there should not be any kind of oversight over what the CDC, the NIH and others are doing, what the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, the vast majority of whom have stock and financial interests in the pharmaceuticals that they are actually recommending. It's a most alarming situation, and I think that it's high time that there was regulatory oversight. They're frightened by that. They're terrified because they know what exists in there to be identified. And I think Trump is certainly the right person to help do that. It's astonishing to me that had we gone the other way, had the Democrats got in, then we would have faced, I believe, mandatory vaccination within 3 to 4 years from cradle to grave.
Yeah.
It would have been right way through to seniors. And people do not know and may never know, and maybe it's a good thing they never know, the bullet that they dodged in that respect.
Yeah, and that's why they're coming after Trump. And I just hope the good Lord protects him because he's got enemies, major big time enemies. But that's also a good sign because you know he's doing the right thing, you know, when the powers that be are coming after you. I also wanted to ask, have you seen some of the, well, I know you have probably, some of the latest in Natural News, Mike Adams has reported that a title of one of his articles, you can go to naturalnews.com and read it, the CDC document bombshell reveals a list of all vaccine excipients, including African green monkey kidney cells and fibroblast cells from aborted human fetuses. And this is documented, folks. And I want to say this, too. He is one of the ones that is out there actually telling the truth. I've followed him for years. He links all his stuff. He links his his facts and all that he's talking about to verifiable documents, and he is linking to the CDC website and to the vaccine insert, and to he has a copy of it in this paper, and he has been labeled as fake news along with some other people out there actually telling the truth. And folks, let me tell you something: we've been fighting fake news for over 40 years. These people here are actually telling the truth, people like Alex Jones and Mike Adams and several other people. What's your take on this? I mean, do you think this is going to, this headline, if it gets out there enough, that, and a lot of people subscribe to Natural News. I've been on his newsletter list for years, and he's always right on target. And that's the thing with some of these people that I've been listening to and on their newsletter list, they have been on target for years and years and years. They prove factually what they're saying. They're not out there just saying stuff willy-nilly. They have proof behind what they say. Do you think this is going to be shocking enough to actually wake people, more people up out of their stupor when they realize that they're using aborted human fetuses in these vaccines, to make these vaccines?
Well, the answer is yes, and it's happening. I've watched this now over, I've been involved in this fight for 22 years, and it's gone from being a sort of small parochial issue to a massive global problem. So many people are now aware of what is going on, and I think that is why we are seeing such an abreaction from the other side. This is why we're seeing the passage of mandatory vaccination bills in California, with an attempt to pass such bills across the rest of the country, including federal bills, is they've lost control. They have lost the hearts and minds of the people, and they do not know how to get it back. And their only answer is by coercion, force, and bribery. And that is not the measure of a successful public health strategy. That is a measure of its failure. And when you fail, you have to force people. And when you fail through that mechanism, then you're running out of places to go. And I really think, I mean, I've seen this turn into a huge movement, and Vaxxed has been part of that movement, that and latterly with Polly going around the country in Florida, where you are now, getting parents' stories, thousands and thousands and thousands of stories, parents saying the same thing about what happened to their children after vaccination. And it's not only based upon personal experience, it's based upon things such as funding being withdrawn from educational strategies to go into special needs classes, so that it's coming out of sport and it's coming out of sort of honors programs. Schools are getting compromised because of just the sheer amount of money that it costs to run a special education program. Now we have not only classes for children with autism and other special needs, but schools being built for children. There are so many that you can't hide it any longer. And people are saying to themselves, well, you said that this was fraud and this was false and this was fake news 20 years ago. It's still going on. The debate is still raging. In fact, it's more vocal than ever. So if it wasn't true, if it were not true, why are we still talking about it? And I think the public now do genuinely believe in greater numbers that there is a problem, which is one of the reasons I do believe that Donald Trump got elected, because he said, I know this happens and I'm going to do something about it. So the other side are losing. They're getting more and more angry. They're spending a fortune trying to persuade us that, well, we're all wrong and they're doing the right thing, and they're losing. And so the attacks on me, well, big deal. You know, let them come. It doesn't bother me. They can say what they like about me. It's what's called displacement activity. They're refusing to deal with the real issue, so they're coming after me again. Well, so what? You know, they're losing. And I think the sooner that we get to the truth, the sooner they lose and are disenfranchised, then the sooner we're going to get to justice.
Tell us a little bit about the film Vaxxed and how it's coming along, and the wake up that you're seeing that's occurring in America because of your film.
Well, it's been an extraordinary journey. I mean, for years and years and years, I believed that someone would ultimately come forward, that someone would, a man of conscience, would come forward and say, there is a problem. And in May, I became aware of this through my friend and colleague, Dr. Brian Hooker, to whom Thompson originally confessed. I became aware of this in May 2014. And I said to Brian, what this man is telling you is extraordinary information. You must record it. Do so legally, but it must be documented. Children's lives are being compromised every single day, and we have a moral obligation to get this story out there. So that's when the documentary started. It was another year and a half, 2 years in the making. Release it. We then, having finished it, we got it into a very prestigious film festival, the Tribeca Film Festival, run by Robert De Niro in New York. And upon that being announced, pressure was put on the Tribeca board through Jane Rosenthal, through financial interests, through pharmaceutical interests, to censor the film. And that was a very sad day, particularly for the Tribeca Film Festival. And then 4 days later, 3 days later, De Niro went on television on the Today Show, and all he talked about was the film that didn't play, the film that should have played and everybody should see, and that was Vaxxed. And it exploded. It exploded across the country. We had an offer from the Angelica Theater in New York to open in 4 days. It was unheard of. We had no money, no advertising. We just decided to go for it. And we opened at the Angelica to repeated packed houses. And it kind of then spread like wildfire across the country and across the world. It is now the most censored film, I believe, in the history of the world. I'm going to Germany. The censorship in Germany, everywhere they tried to get the film played, has been intimidated by trolls and online attacks with threats of violence and et cetera to not play this film. They're going to go ahead and do it. We had exactly the same experience in Australia, in New Zealand, in France, in Brussels. We were due to play before the European Parliament, and it was censored there. And yet, every time they try and censor it, more and more and more people want to see it because it is the film they desperately do not want people to watch because it's true. And I say to people, bear this in mind. We have accused these scientists at the CDC of the worst medical fraud in the history of the world, one of the greatest humanitarian crimes in world history. Why? Because they were sworn to protect these children and they deliberately put them in harm's way. If there was one word of a lie, one word that was incorrect in that film, they would have sued us to the moon and back again. That has not happened. Not a whisper, not a hint of that happening. Why? Because they know it is the truth.
Yeah, and that's the last thing they want is to bring you to court. That's the last thing, because they know you're right.
Yes, and going to court is about discovery, and they really do not want any further discovery.
And the more you tell somebody you don't want them to see something, what does that do? It makes them want to watch it that much more. So they're actually doing you a favor, you know, by trying to take it away from people. People want to see it more. How many people do you think have seen this movie?
Gosh, it's a very good question. It was one of the most successful documentary films of 2016. I don't have the precise figures, but I one day, I imagine I'll get them from our distributor, Cinema Libre, who have done a wonderful job. But you know, it's gone out online on DVD. It was Amazon's number one selling documentary and top selling film for a while, second only to Great Walking Dead. So it really
wow.
It has done extremely well. And as you say, the more they try and prevent people from seeing this, the more people want to see it.
Tell us about the new film you're working on.
Well, again, I can't say too much, except it's a follow-up to Vaxxed. It pursues the same story right through to the conclusion of the deposition of William Thompson and his colleagues and their stories. And it involves how Congress has failed the American people and how, you know, this was circumvented by other means to get this case to court so that the truth could be heard. So it's a story that is unfolding as we speak, in production for at least 6 months, post-production for a further 6 months. So I would think that, given our experience with Vax, we'll probably be in 18 months' time, something like that.
Wow. Well, I want you to have it done sooner. I'm ready to watch it. That's going to be a good one. I want to get you back when that comes out, and we're going to promote it.
Thank you.
We are going to promote it. Well, before we're getting, you know, close to the end here, but I want to touch a little bit more on autism, because this is what really got you in trouble to start with. And what did you find? What was the connection that you found between the gastrointestinal issues, autism, and the MMR vaccine? Because that's really at the heart of really what started all this with you.
Exactly. I'm a gastroenterologist, and my job as a doctor is to listen to patients, or in this case, the patient's parents, for the clues as to what's wrong with their children. That's a doctor's job. It's not our job to assume in our arrogance that we know better than the parents. And these parents had been saying for many years to a variety of doctors that their children with autism had not only regressed following an exposure to the MMR vaccine in many cases, but had terrible gastrointestinal problems. And when the gastrointestinal problems, the pain, diarrhea, the constipation, the bloating, the failure to thrive were bad, then the behavioral problems were particularly bad. They believed their children were in pain. They believed they weren't sleeping because they were in pain, that they were self-injurious because they were in pain. They had no other way of telling people they were in pain because they'd lost the ability to communicate in the normal way. But the mothers knew instinctively. So the doctors had virtually to a man and a woman simply dismissed it and said, this is just autism, get used to it, put your child in a home, get on with it, get on with your lives. It was totally unacceptable. But to us, to me, the story was extremely consistent and was indicative of a real organic disease until proven otherwise. And that's the message in medicine. You must not assume from the outset that it's all in the mind. You have to exclude a physical cause. And when we investigated these children, the parents were right. They had an inflammatory bowel disease. We published a great number of papers elucidating the sort of mechanism of the bowel inflammation. And where would we be now if the CDC hadn't lied and if we had not, our program of research had not been destroyed by special interests? We would have many of the answers that parents crave now about what is wrong with their children. But that is now, it's gone on to be a very, very consistent finding. As I say, the commonest finding in international research is that there is a gastrointestinal disturbance, in particular of the bacteria in the gut in these children, and that correcting that can lead to amelioration of the of all of the symptoms. So very exciting, sadly greatly delayed by special interests, but in order to demolish, to discredit the vaccine autism link, they had to also discredit the inflammatory bowel disease autism link as well. And that is what they did successfully for some time. But as you've pointed out earlier, the truth cannot be denied. It will prevail in the end, and that is exactly what's happened.
Mm-hmm. So is the vaccine doing some type of damage to the gut? Or is it the mercury in the vaccines that's getting into the brain? So really, this just shows how important the gut is in connection with the brain. You know, that's the recent years research has come out showing the gut-brain connection. So is the vaccine affecting the gut more so and not so much in the gut affecting the brain? Or is the vaccine, is it mercury in the brain, or is it both, or do we know enough yet?
Well, it's a very good question. And sadly, if we had been allowed to pursue this work, we may have those answers now. We don't have them. But I do believe that all these things are important. I do believe that mercury in other vaccines, not the MMR, but the other vaccines, is a major player in this. I believe that aluminum is a major player. I think that these things interact. They potentiate each other. They produce a synergistic toxicity. And therefore, the greater the load of vaccines you put into children, and the diminishing ability that goes with that, the child's ability to detoxify and to have their immune systems work effectively and normally, simply increases the chances of autism as a consequence. So do we have the answers? No, but I do believe that all of these things play into it and are important. Teasing that out in a scientific setting is going to be extremely difficult given the sheer load of toxins that are put into children now. And I include in that the glyphosate in GMO crops. There's evidence now that that plays into this. So it is a very complex equation. The bottom line is we are poisoning our children, and the tip of the iceberg is autism. But there are many, many other problems as well.
Yeah, there are. And especially it's harmful. And if I were to guess, I would say most of these children that are harmed by vaccines have, and again, it's just a theory of mine, I would say they have a detoxing problem, the MTHFR gene or some other problem that they cannot get rid of all these toxins, and they're just accumulating faster than they would in a child that doesn't have detoxing problems. Of course, that's just common sense. You know, I wanted to say, do you know if anybody is doing the kind of research you're talking about that needs to be done, or is all of it stopped right now?
No, it is being done. It is being done. In fact, you know, just from people say there's no supporting evidence. There was a paper from Yale the other day, and it looked at the temporal association between vaccination and the onset of a number of neuropsychiatric conditions, such as tics and ADHD, and it showed highly significant associations between the vaccine exposure and onset of these conditions. So the science is going on. It is being done. There are people in the preeminent universities in this country doing it and proving it. So it's simply not making its way into the mainstream media. And I would imagine that those scientists who do that work are going to come under huge attack from special interests, just as I did. It's very, very sad. Yeah. But no, the work is being done. It is being replicated. And the public are not being told about it. They're being sold the same lies by people like Paul Offit and others, that there is no evidence that vaccines are harmful and every bit of evidence that they are safe. That is, I'm afraid, a terrible lie.
Yeah, exactly.
And it deprives the public of access to the truth, to the real information.
Yeah, and they need to quit listening to people that have conflicts of interest like Paul Offit does. Do you know of any real promising treatment for autism?
Very good question. I sadly got moved out of the research arena some years ago and have focused on filmmaking. So I'm not as up to date as many people are in the field. The mainstays of therapy, I think, are still an approach to the gut, to correcting the toxic overload, to dietary intervention, gluten casein free diet. And there are some very, very exciting approaches. One of the big problems is that you can effectively treat a large proportion of children with autism. The younger you get them, the better. And again, that's somewhat intuitive, but there are some children who seem resistant to anything you do. And then there are other children who do well for a period, and then they start having seizures during adolescence, and they become violent and aggressive, and seizures are often difficult to control. There is now good evidence, growing body of evidence, that medicinal cannabis is very effective in treating these children. Now, I say that with the caveat that I have not done the clinical trials myself, but in children who have, and this is not the cannabis that gets you high, it's the extract that helps, it is classed as medicinal cannabis, actually is very good at controlling what are called refractory seizures that don't respond to other treatments, and improving aggressive outbursts in children. So I'm very encouraged, and I think that's something that should be looked at very quickly and comprehensively, because it's something that can deal with one of those very, very difficult problems that we had no way of dealing with before.
Do you think this is the beginning of the end of vaccines as we know them?
I think there are two things to say. One is that the industry has invested its future in vaccines. So the pharmaceutical industry is looking at a 14% year-on-year growth in its income based upon vaccines. And there are many, many, some 300 new vaccines in the pipeline, many of which will be put onto mandatory vaccine schedules. People need to be aware of that. So it would be a huge loss in investment and future profitability to the vaccine industry to see this, to have this seen as the end of their gravy train. However, they are going to come under incredible scrutiny, particularly as more and more whistleblowers come out and tell the truth. The other thing to say is that when you change nature, when you change the subtle ecological interaction between man and infectious agents in 2-3 generations, as has happened with vaccination, abruptly and in an extreme way, then nature will exact a price, and it doesn't necessarily do so overnight. And we've seen this, of course, with antibiotics. So when we back out of this situation, when rational, clear thinking, uncompromised people sit down and say, how do we deal with this man-made catastrophe that we have now? We need to do so very, very carefully, and we need to accord nature the greatest of respect when we do so. Getting rid of those vaccines that are really unnecessary, that are given too early, that are given in combination, that have things in them like mercury and aluminum that are toxic. Getting rid of those and stepping back one step at a time so that we do not make the situation worse than it already is. And so it's going to be a very interesting and critical time in man's sort of dealings with infectious disease, the war on infectious disease, over the next sort of 20, 30 years. And how will it play out? It's a very, very good question. But I do think that there's a wonderful line in Jurassic Park when they, at the very beginning, they are watching, Sam Mendes is watching an egg hatch in his hand, and it turns out he says, "Oh my gosh, you've bred a velociraptor." And the scientist in the white coat says, "Don't worry, they can't reproduce, they're all female." And I think it's Goldblum, as the chaos theory mathematician said, "You don't understand. Nature will find a way." And of course, that is the theme of the film. Nature did find a way, and a lot of people got eaten as a consequence. So I think we have to be extremely respectful of nature in our dealings with this going forward.
Well, I tend to agree with you, but I am very hopeful. I'm very hopeful that this is the beginning, and I kind of think it is, because I see a big wave coming. And, you know, yes, you may be a big companies out here with the vaccine, with the pharmaceutical companies are big companies, but, you know, when the mass wakes up, then you've got something to deal with. Well, Dr. Wakefield, thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for all your hard work for producing the film Vax the Movie. And when you come out with your next one, I want to know, and I'll have you back on and help you promote that, because I know it's going to be another good one. And thank you for listening. This is Beverly Butler, and you've been listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast on the America Out Loud Network.